As I said, slight change to the normal for this lot. It's usually at 5:40 p.m. But for scheduling reasons, we have a once-off change. And as always, we're proud to be the only station, radio station in Ireland with a dedicated astronomy slot. And this week, there's huge excitement in the world of space exploration, with a major moon mission about to launch, alongside rare comet sightings and some stunning night sky views. And joining me, as always, is David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine. David, you're very welcome back.
Thank you very much, Eugene.
Now, okay, David, the big story, the big talking point this week is Artemis 2. Just how significant is this launch for space exploration?
Well, things are counting down nicely at the moment. No sign of any delays yet. So on April Fool's Day, no joke, after, well, afternoon, April Fool's jokes are supposed to happen before noon, around 11:30 p.m. Irish time, we're due to launch the first crew to the moon in over half a century. It's not since the Apollo 17 mission in 1972 that astronauts traveled this far out in space. We're used to the International Space Station, which is only 400 kilometers above the ground. These Artemis II astronauts on Wednesday night are going to travel 1,000 times further, swing around the moon, so far past the moon, in fact, that they will break the all-time record for the most distant humans ever. They won't land. That'll come in 2 years' time. But this is the start of not just the exploration of the moon, but continuous habitation of the moon. NASA had massive press conferences last week. I watched 5 hours of them, where they're going to have a moon base by 2033, two manned landings on the moon every year, and the pace will just hot up from then. It's all down to the new administrator, Jared Isaacman, barely in the job a few months, and he is determined to focus on this.
Okay, and how many astronauts are we talking about on Wednesday night? Do we know?
We've got four. Three Americans, one Canadian who's never been in space before. Some of the others have space experience, and they'll be on a 10-day mission. So they blast off just before midnight, Wednesday night, our time, and they spend about a day in orbit around the Earth, checking everything's working fine, and then they blast off to the moon. It takes 4 days to get there, and they swing around the moon. They don't orbit the moon, just slingshot around the moon, so they'll only be able to see the dark side, the far side that we can't see, for a few hours. And then they come back 4 more days and hopefully safely splash down in the ocean.
Now, for listeners, this is historic, absolutely historic, as you say, not happened since 1972. For listeners tuning in at home, how can they watch the launch live, David? And what should they be looking out for during the broadcast?
Yeah, today it's really easy. Most of the Earth's population watched the moonshot in 1969 when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon. There weren't as many TVs or people around back then. But now everybody's got a smartphone, and NASA streams it all over the place. Probably the easiest is YouTube. Just go to YouTube and look up NASA's channel. You'll see their live stream there. They'll be starting well before the launch, and you can watch the launch, and then there'll be other press conferences and the like to talk people through how it's going. NASA.gov is NASA's official website, if you want to follow it in great detail. And hopefully we'll get some incredible pictures back when they're on the far side of the moon, because they've been told to specifically look at the moon. They reckon that humans looking for landing sites for their fellow astronauts in 2 years' time are better than just sending robot spacecraft to take photographs. So it's going to be an enormously easy-to-follow mission, you know, for the public. The science will come when they actually land on the moon and start studying its surface, probably at the South Pole, somewhere we've never visited before on any of the 6 Apollo missions that went to the moon.
And this is 11:30 p.m. on Wednesday evening. That's when the launch is due to happen.
Yeah, it's a few minutes before 11:30. So, you know, tune in from 11 o'clock on, sit down, get your popcorn ready, and watch for history in the making to say you were there when they launched. Should all go smoothly, we hope. Mm. They've had some refueling problems that's caused delays. They've launched the Artemis 1 craft before. It went around the moon successfully with no people on board, and splashed down successfully as well. So space is a very dangerous business, but fingers crossed, nothing will go wrong.
And David, 4 days, it's a 10-day mission altogether, but 4 days there, 4 days back, and you mentioned it will take the astronauts farther than any humans have travelled in over 50 years. Can you put a kind of a distance on that, rather than a 1,000 times more than the distance to the space station? What kind of distance are we talking about over those 8 days?
Well, the average distance of the moon is about 240,000 miles, a bit under 400,000 kilometers. So if you've got a very old car, it might get up in its whole decades-long lifetime to about that quarter of a million miles limit. And that's just the journey there. Then it's got to come back. That said now, the wheels aren't running on roads and there's no air or anything in space to cause any problems. So you're coasting most of the way. So, you know, if you were to go around the Earth, that's about 24,000 to 25,000 miles, 40,000 kilometers. So you're going about 10 times around the Earth to get there, and then the same to get back. So it puts it, you know, to do all that in 4 days, you know, you're basically going around the Earth in less than 1 day. So the spacecraft is traveling at phenomenal speed. It needs to get up to nearly 25,000 miles an hour to escape the Earth's gravity, and then get trapped by the moon's gravity. It's all beautifully complicated mathematically how they do it, and then use the moon's gravity to bring them back toward the Earth, rather than have to take an awful lot of expensive rocket fuel.
Now, there's David, there's talk of a new space race now, particularly with China aiming for a moon landing by 2030. And I assume that the new leader of NASA, who is definitely dead set on this, that's only going to increase the competition and for us, the public, it's going to be a magnificent time ahead, isn't it?
Yeah, people who are old enough to remember the Apollo missions had a great time watching all these moonshots one after the other with the huge Saturn V rocket. The rocket they've got now is even more powerful, and, you know, it's taller than any building in Ireland. So the engineering is on a phenomenal scale. And Jared Isaacman, who's a billionaire, space entrepreneur, has his own space interests, he has been appointed by Donald Trump. Bit of controversy in the beginning. It was suggested, then they found out he donated to the Democratic Party, cancelled his nomination, but patched everything up. And I think listening to him at the press conferences last week, which you can still watch online, they're on NASA's YouTube channel, his speech was inspired. He's definitely got the passion. He seems to want to cut a lot of the red tape and just get there. And Donald Trump wants him to do that, because you may remember, may have seen recordings of 1969 when Neil Armstrong, the Irishman, and Buzz Aldrin were on the surface of the moon. Richard Nixon, the then president, rang them up, making that historic phone call, the longest phone call in history from the Oval Office anyway. And Donald Trump wants to do the same. He wants to be the one that welcomes NASA back to the moon, or Americans in particular. And the Chinese have said that they are going to land on the moon in 2030. So they're only going to beat them by 2 years if all goes to plan. There's always a chance of delays. So the Americans don't want to be left behind, because they see space as the next technological challenge. And, you know, their economy is huge, biggest in the world, and a lot of it's powered by technology. And it was the Apollo mission, not just what it did going to the moon, but the hundreds of thousands of scientists and engineers who worked at the cutting edge to get Neil Armstrong and the rest of them to the moon. They went off out into industry and made America great then.
Now, I just want to let listeners know that I'm actually talking to a night owl here on the other end of this line. I'm talking to a night owl because we're talking about comets next. And I rang this man earlier today and he was in his bed, because he was out viewing comets all night. And I can tell you, he wasn't too impressed when I rang him earlier on. He wasn't too impressed. Is that right, David?
Well, to be honest, I don't mind, because I'd forgotten to send our notes.
That's all right. Not to worry. Not to worry. But we've also got two comets on the way. We've got two comets on the way, starting with Comet MAPS, which is passing incredibly close to the sun. What makes this one so unusual?
Yeah, the clocks, of course, went forwards at the weekend, and that now means that sunrise is very late in the morning. So this particular comet, the second one I'll talk about, is best seen just as the sun is coming up. In fact, the sky was brightening when I took my last pictures of it, and that's what stopped me. But the first one is Comet MAPS, because it's going to come first. And it's a comet that has fallen in from the depths of space and almost is going to hit the sun. Normally they miss the sun. They go maybe our distance or half our distance, occasionally a bit closer than that to the sun, then whiz back out into the depths of space, whereas planets and asteroids go around the sun roughly in circles. So these things fall in, whoosh around the sun and go back out. This one almost hits it. It gets about 1/8 of the sun's diameter away from the sun. So it is going to be boiled alive. In fact, there's a good chance it could completely disintegrate and be vaporized by the sun's heat. Fortunately, we have spacecraft now that are watching the sun and block the sunlight. And they're going to be able to watch the close approach, which is going to happen on April the 4th, which is this Saturday. And you'll be able to see that online. So we're going to email, we'll put it out on our social media as well, the links to these spacecraft, practically live images. And hopefully we'll see this bright comet. And if it survives that close path, a comet called Lovejoy did this 20 years ago, and it had this incredible tail spanning across the sky because the sun had boiled so much off it. And that might happen for a few days or weeks after this weekend. We just don't know. Is it going to die, or is it going to give us incredible bright comet in evening skies next week? So follow Astronomy Ireland on that one. We certainly know the comet's going to go extremely close to the sun on Saturday, and that's Comet MAPS.
And then Comet Pan-STARRS, it's already been spotted, hasn't it?
Yeah, I've seen it myself. I've been taking pictures of it in the morning sky for a few weeks as it comes closer and closer to the sun. It'll be closest on the 20th of April, so a bit of time to go with that. It'll just be faintly visible to the naked eye in morning skies, we think. There's always a chance comets can have outbursts, so we'll be following this one very closely. So if you like getting up at dawn, join Astronomy Ireland, get the magazine. The weekly email goes out that we'll be putting even better updates and maps on as well. So maybe we'll talk more about this one next week and let Comet MAPS have the glory this week. Although if its tail is super big, it'll dominate the news next week as well.
Now, we've also got the full pink moon as well coming up. This is a particularly good one for photographers, isn't it?
Yeah, this is something all Irish people can get involved in. If you've got a smartphone, or if you haven't, you can go out and watch the moon rising. Wednesday night and Thursday night are the two best nights to watch. The moon will look full to the naked eye both nights. And people like to line up the moon rising with interesting landmarks, statues, people, buildings, that kind of thing. They can get very creative, and we want them to do that and send their best photograph into Astronomy Ireland magazine. So that's on Wednesday and Thursday nights. And there's a bit of an extra treat this year on Thursday evening, because one of the brightest stars in the sky, called Spica, the brightest star in the constellation of Virgo, it'll be just to the left of the moon on the Thursday evening in particular. So let's hope that particular evening is clear. And this moon is called the Pink Moon because a lot of the moons are named the names that Native Americans have given to them have become popular. There's a lot of Americans on the internet, apparently. And so this one's called the Pink Moon because in North America, around this time of year, April, just as spring is beginning, you start to get a lot of pink blossoms decorating the landscape. So enjoy the full pink moon.
And finally, David, for anyone looking up in the evenings, we've got Jupiter and Venus shining brightly. What can people expect to see over the coming weeks, especially with that that close approach in June?
Yeah, we were very lucky at our moon watch on Saturday night, perfectly clear skies. We didn't think it'd be that clear. We didn't bother telling people they could see Venus, but it was clear right the way down to the horizon. And there was Venus blazing over in the west. Jupiter high overhead almost near the moon, that we were looking at both of those. But Venus we could see, even though it was that low down. And it's going to get higher and higher as the weeks pass. Jupiter's going to get lower and lower. And yeah, the two are on not quite a collision course, but they're going to go very close to each other in early June, so we're going to be watching these week by week. They won't hit, but you'll be able to hold your thumb out at arm's length and cover both Jupiter and Venus, which are 10 times or more brighter than the brightest stars in the sky. That's going to be a spectacular sight toward the end of May and into June, low in the twilight, but easily visible to the naked eye. So okay. They're about 90 degrees apart, good bit apart over the weekend, but getting closer. And if you check out our social media, there's a link to a webpage that shows you how to identify which moon of Jupiter is which using your binoculars. You'll see with naked eye, but your binoculars, you can see its moon. So do check out the social media every day.
Okay, we leave it there. Fascinating as always, David. Plenty there for people to watch out for in the skies this week, from historic moon missions to comets. The historic moon mission, just tune in at 11 o'clock on the YouTube channel or NASA's channel. From a historic moon mission to comets and stunning views of the moon and planets. We've no show next Monday as it's a bank holiday, but David will be back Monday week at 5:40 p.m. That's David Moore from Astronomy Ireland magazine. Thanks, David. And stay with us here on CRKC.